I thank God for being here tonight.
Hey!
I appreciate the opportunity. I always laugh. This is the first time I've preached out of Scott County before, and I'm pretty nervous.
I was glad to see those trash cans there because I thought I was going to have to use one. But you know what? I always love coming to new churches because, you know, the faces are different. I don't know most of y'all, but the spirit's the same. And I just thank the Lord for that. We're going to be in Psalm chapter 103 tonight. And I appreciate that the brother said 104. I was reading through this, and yesterday morning was where the Lord led me. So you'll turn there. We'll be there tonight. And Brother Kevin didn't tell me this was a youth night. But I'm thankful the word is applicable to everybody.
That's right.
And I've been teaching a teen Sunday school class for quite a while now, and I've learned that they know a lot more than I think we think that they do. And I pray they listen to that tonight as well. So verse 1, we'll read the whole chapter. It says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfy thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy towards them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as our father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are to dust. As for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those that remember his commandments to do them. The Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all. Bless the Lord, ye his angels that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Bless ye the Lord, all ye his host, ye ministers of his that do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works, and his all his places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul." Dear Heavenly Father, Lord God, we just bow humbly in your presence, and we thank you, Lord, for the opportunity you give us to be here this evening. We thank you for the singing that we've already heard, and no doubt that your spirit has already been moving here tonight. And God, I just pray in the short minutes to follow here that you just hide me behind your cross, God. Take away any part of me that would be in this, Lord, and that we can only see you. I pray that your word speak to us tonight, God, that we can use it, Lord, to be better servants to you. Of course, God, we thank you most of all for your son, who you so graciously sent on the cross to die and to save our sins. Lord, again, we just ask you to be with us, lead, guide, and direct us. In your holy and blessed name, we do humbly pray. Amen. So the idea tonight that I want to try to convey from Psalms here, this is such a great book and such a great truth within this passage of 103, but I want to kind of touch on this idea of if I can make it make sense, not only just walking in the faith, but understanding and maybe even growing. The best word to be would be to know our faith. You know, so often I think as we find ourselves getting caught up in this world and this idea of what I would call modern Christianity is we don't maybe fully understand what faith is. You know, I look at maybe like Hebrews chapter 11 or something like, and I see these men and these women of great faith and great strength, or I look at people within my church and I see just great warriors for God, and I oftentimes wonder is where does that come from? Because truthfully, I believe that is missing within the church today. We are so comfortable with just going through the motions and being caught up in religion that we forget what our sole purpose is. You know, Brother Kinsley was preaching in our church this morning. He said it there. He said, our purpose ain't to come to church. Our purpose isn't to go through the motions. Our purpose is to serve God. I'm forgetting where it's at now, but I think it might be in Isaiah or somewhere. But what does he say? He says it's better to obey than it is to sacrifice, right? They were so caught up, the Jewish folk were so caught up in going through the motions. Yes, they were sacrificing, but it had no purpose. And it's the same thing in our life today. So I want to kind of break down this idea of how we not only walk in the faith, but how we maintain, and even more so, how we build that faith. So you look in verse 1, it says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. And I just thank God for being here tonight. I thank God for the opportunities that he's given me. When I look back at the things that I've done in my life and what he has brought me from, I do not deserve to be here. And I don't deserve to be standing here. I don't deserve to be saved. And there is nothing that I can ever do to even attempt to repay that. But like the brother said, with the time that I have here, the time that I have now, I'm going to bless him, or at least try to bless him with everything that is within me. I want him to have every part of my life. It doesn't matter. And this is really important for you kids, right? I deal with teenagers. It's the most important, I believe, the most important time in a kid's life as they begin to march off into adulthood. I made a lot of mistakes, right? I didn't consult God in the way that I ought to as I was making decisions for my life. I need to go to him first. I want everything that I do, every aspect of my life, to be totally controlled by him. You see, and it goes back, I think, to where our heart's at. We can fake serving God. We can fake being in a good relationship with God. But if our heart isn't there, then it's going to show. If our heart's not in the right place, then we can never fully submit to him in the way that we ought to. And it should be a desire of every Christian to fully submit, fully give his life to him. You know, I was thinking the other day, and I was sure he'd say the same thing, when the news broke that Josh Sullivan, the missionary that we support, right, got captured. I mean, man, what a thing! Like, what a scary thing! But I took a moment back and I thought of Paul, and I just thought of what an honor to make the sacrifice that he made for God, right? I fully believe that he will be greatly rewarded for that, and every person in this room should be willing to make that sacrifice for him. I think of, you know, as you read through the end of the gospel there and the picture of Christ hanging on the cross and my sin that hung him there and what had to be done so I could be saved. Well, I should be more than willing to give that back to him. And it doesn't matter if he calls me or if he calls your children to a foreign country, we should be willing to let them go. Because we want them to be sold in for him. Yeah. Verse 2 says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. And I'll tell you why, there's absolutely benefits to serving God. Yeah. You know, I think it's crazy. It's full. I can't understand it. Not only did he save my soul, but I can be blessed by him for serving him. You know, we'll get there in a minute. I'm getting a little ahead of myself, but man alive, I mean, just to think of the world wants you to believe that you can achieve satisfaction from them. There is absolutely nothing that the world has for me to offer. But going to God, working for God, living with God, the benefits that come from that are truly unimaginable. I think of the scene of speaking to us and the ability to have these crowns and cast them before the feet of Christ and I want part of that. But it says I got to earn them. I often think, and I hope I don't find myself in that place, how many people are going to walk through the gates of heaven and expect a crown and be sadly disappointed? Because, yeah, they thought they were living the right way. You know, they were coming to church on Sunday. Maybe they were a Sunday school teacher, whatever. But their heart wasn't ever in the right place. And, yeah, they'll make it to heaven, but I don't just want to make it. I want to be able to come boldly before the throne and be able to cast a crown that I've earned by serving him here before the feet of my Savior. Because I can't do anything to repay it. But at the very least, I can at least honor it in everything that I do. Verse 3, it says, who forgiveth all thine iniquities and healeth all thy diseases. And praise God for that. He has healed the disease of sin. He has healed my iniquities, taking that away from me. When God looks at me, he doesn't see the sinner and the dead dog that I am. He sees the blood of Christ. Verse 4, I love verse 4. It says, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, and who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. And I underline that word, crowneth. No doubt, a psalm of David, he knew what a crown meant, right? He knew what it represented. When Christ was talking to the apostles, what did he describe to them? He described to them the ability to not only experience his kingdom, but to rule alongside with him. So again, it goes back to this idea that Christ loves us so much, so not only has he given us the opportunity to escape destruction, but also to live and to rule with him in the position of authority in his kingdom. Just going back to the blessings that he has poured out upon us. Verse 5, it says, and this is so important, right? Who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like an eagle. This verse brings me into remembrance of John chapter 4, and it starts in verse 14 when he's speaking to the woman at the well, and he tells her, he says, basically, you can have a water, right? I can give you water, you will thirst no more.
Right.
There is satisfaction in serving God. You know, I think when you look at this world today and the issues that they're having with these ideas of transgenderism and people having, you know, all sorts of sex and things outside of marriage, what are they searching for? They're searching for satisfaction. And the world will bundle it up and make a pretty picture, right? But again and again, we find emptiness and emptiness and emptiness in this world because people are looking the wrong place.
That's right.
I promise you, especially you young folk, as you transition into adulthood, you're going to have all sorts of things thrown in your face. Whether you're chasing a career or chasing after a significant other, whatever it may be, I promise you that you will not be satisfied unless you put God first.
Right.
There is no possible way. And take it from me, if I have done it, I have looked to other places for satisfaction. You know, I mean, not that long ago, I'm 25 now, so I guess right about the end of high school, right, I was not walking in a way that a Christian ought to walk. And unfortunately, other than the fact that people knew me, if you just saw me on the street, you probably wouldn't expect me to even be saved because I was looking in the wrong thing. And I'll tell you what, I don't speak about this a lot, but I spent several nights in my dorm room just essentially sobbing and alone, and I couldn't figure out why. It's because I had neglected the most important thing in my life. I had all these dreams and all these aspirations of what I wanted to be, but I had left God behind. And I'm so thankful that even though I left him, he was still there waiting. And as soon as I was ready to come back, he was there with open arms. And now I can find that satisfaction in him and him alone. Verse 6, it says, the Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. And I think we can all agree that we were oppressed by sin. And I'm so thankful that instead of just judgment, but his righteousness was executed upon us. So I don't have to face that fiery furnace of hell. Verse 7, this kind of goes into this idea. I kind of got away from my points a little bit there, and that's okay. The first one's kind of this idea of having a relationship with God, right? And of course, we know that starts with salvation. And then it continues building as you build that relationship with him. Of course, that involves being within your word and staying in prayer, right?
Yeah.
And then as we get into verse 7, it's kind of this idea of better understanding who God is. And the reason I say that is because I think a lot of people don't fully appreciate God, right? We treat God as if he's some faraway person that isn't truly relevant to our day-to-day life. And so because of our lack of understanding of God or lack of respect to God, then we are okay with our life going in our own direction, right? Or that sin being present in our life because we feel like maybe that or we don't maybe don't understand how much of respect and reverence that God deserves. Verse 7 says this. He says, "He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel." And so if you're ever, and this kind of goes to me, you know, you ask yourself, man, why do I want to serve God? Why do I want to sacrifice? Because serving God requires sacrifice. Why do I want to sacrifice for God? Well, it's because you need to understand who he is. And now as we read through verse 8 here, starting in verse 8, it briefly, in very short words, describes our Lord. And it says, "The Lord is merciful and gracious and slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. And he will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him." And as I read that, it really truly convicts me. Because I see the depth of God's love for me and his mercy for me. And how no matter what I've done in my life or what I continue to do in my life, he will forgive me. And then I go again to that picture of Christ on the cross. And it wasn't just him dying, but him suffering for me. For my sins, for what I did wrong. And when I look at it that way, I look at myself and it's like, how can I possibly even bear to sin? How do I have it within my ability? How can I even get so within, I don't even know how to explain it, but how can I sin? How do I have the audacity to sin before God? But you see, that ain't the mindset that we have no more. Because again, we want to kind of separate ourselves. You know, the Bible tells us that God wants to be a friend to us. He wants to have a relationship with us, and that's a very personal relationship. So often I think we treat God as a genie in a bottle that we just go to when we need him. You know, and we put him on the shelf any other time. But if we take the time and the opportunity to not only find God, but to know God, and then that knowing of God will lead to a reverence of God. And then a reverence of God will lead to a better attempt at living that sinless life. I know that I cannot live without sin. That's why Christ was needed. But I also know that I can do a lot better than I do now. And it should be out of respect and out of love for him. Again, I look and it says he is merciful. And it says, "He hath not dealt with us after our sins." I deserve today to be in the deepest pits of hell, suffering for all that I've done for him. But he saw fit for some reason to die for me so I could live with him in eternity. And so with that, I need to live for him. This life ain't mine. I don't want it to be mine because I've seen what I do when I'm in control. Continuing on, it says, again in verse 14, it says, "For he knoweth our frame, and he remembered that we are the dust." He knows how you are. This is no surprise to him. And still yet, he chose you. But the question is when you wake up in the morning, or when you're at work, or when you're at school, you know, unfortunately, I'm still in this fleshly body. And I look forward to the day that I can escape that. But at the same time, I know that I'm here for a reason. And so often, if I allow my flesh to gain control, which I do, then I can't work for the Lord in the way that I'm expecting. And so we have to ask ourselves is how do we overcome that? And the thing is again, the Lord has great power. He's not limited by us. You know, I promise you he's not limited by us because I wouldn't be standing here right now. And I have seen him work and I've seen him tear down addictions and sin and change the direction of people. I don't want to tell the story because it's not mine to tell, but this morning my uncle got up. If you know him, his name's Gabe. And I don't even know, I mean, since I was a kid, he had been on drugs and was living a rough life. And I was talking with Jack Butts at Trinity about how amazing it is that he's turned his life around.
Sure.
He stood up today, 3 years sober. Today. He can't do that. He didn't have the power to do that.
Go ahead.
God did that.
Amen.
And the mercy and the grace that he has. And I'll tell you what, he's on fire for the Lord. I mean, he is absolutely on fire for the Lord because he knows what God's done for him. You know, he's witnessed that. The same thing, we may not have been brought out of addiction, may not have spent time in jail, or in addicted to alcohol, whatever big sins it may be. But God still had to forgive every single one of us. God still had to pull us from the miry pits of sin just as he did everybody else. And I think if we take a step back and acknowledge that, how that would change the way we live our lives. We'll move down to verse 15, and it says, we'll go down to verse 17, I guess. And it says, but the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness is unto his children's children. And he says this, to such as keep his covenant, and to those that remember his covenant to do them, or his commandments to do them. He's essentially speaking of that righteousness being imparted on him. And this is kind of, I think, maybe the most important point, is that if there is sin in your life, sin will bring doubt. I got saved, I think it was when I was 8. And from that period of 8 to, I guess, 20, you could say, you know, and I didn't really think a lot about God, right? He wasn't a priority to me. I was busy living my life, especially as I got older. And then within that, because I was living in that sin, then came the doubt. I believe 100%, if you're truly saved, nothing can take that away.
That's right.
But if I'm living it with sin in my life, then Satan can use that.
Yep.
And next thing you know it, I'm questioning my own salvation. Questioning God's ability to save me. You know, the same thing, and I've experienced this as I'm preaching, right, is you know what you're called to do, but you might not still be living the way you ought to. Now you begin to doubt your calling.
Go ahead.
Or you begin to doubt God's ability.
Yes.
I don't deserve to be here. I don't have any ability to be here. Boy, Satan, but if I don't understand that, and I have sin in my life, Satan can use that to destroy my work with God.
You're right.
And yes, it's almost like you have to just face them head on, right? But you can't do that without if there's sin there.
Yeah.
Because I could look at Satan and I could say, yes, I don't deserve to be here. Yes, I'm a dog.
Go ahead.
Yes, I'm a sinner. But I'm a sinner saved by grace.
Yeah.
But Satan don't want you to see that. And then what he does is he begins to look and pick apart the sin in your life. And again, we can't not sin. It's not in our nature. But I think we can make a better effort. And again, if I look within my life and I see the doubt, I've got to take a step back and ask where that comes from. Because one thing that I see in this word, or maybe I should say I don't see, is any doubt in what God is doing. If God calls you to do something, then he'll make a way for you to do it. The same way that he made a way for salvation. I think of, and again, this verse comes to my mind in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11, when he tells us to abstain from fleshly lust.
Yes.
And why? Because they warreth against the soul. You know, again, and I would say this is really important for you kids, is there's a lot of stuff out there in this world. And it looks pretty. And the same thing, there's a lot of things that we can get caught up in that maybe won't be, you know, the idea isn't initially sinful. But the world wants to pull you as far away as they can from God. It can be things like school,
yep,
or work,
yep,
or even a significant other.
Sure.
You know, if it, you gotta, you, and this gets back right to standing.
That's good, brother.
And to knowing our faith. That foundation has to be built. That's why it's so important to be in your word,
yes,
and to be in prayer.
Right.
Because when those things do come at you, and they will, you know where to stand. You know, I even look at the world today. The world's morality is ever changing. You never know what's you can never know what's right or what's wrong, because the very next day it could be different. So as a Christian, how do I know where I'm supposed to stand? And it's here in this word. And if it's not in this word, then it's not for you. And it doesn't matter if it's, again, where you go to, where you decide to go to school, what you decide to do for work, who you decide to marry, all that should be given to God.
Yes, sir.
And that's the most important thing. And so if you truly want to walk in faith, you've got to first know the faith. And to know the faith, you got to know God. Because without one, there is no And then you go back and we look at those men and women in Hebrews chapter 11. And they were just men. Rahab's in there.
Right.
And she was a harlot. Amen. David had an affair and had somebody murdered. Paul murdered an untold amount of people.
Yes.
Persecuting Christ.
Amen.
Those are the people. Not because of any qualities that they had, but because they done one thing, they obeyed him. And it really is that simple. If we just take a step back, put this world behind us, and put our sights on obeying God first, everything else will be okay. That's all the Lord laid on my heart. I thank you guys for the opportunity. I really do. I thank you for the hospitality, and I'm thankful that God's good, and I'm thankful you saved my soul.